Hello, tennis friends. I'm Gianluca Sola, and welcome to a new episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. In this episode, I chat to Salvador Navarro. Salvador is an A-star level international coach with GPTCA. He's famous for coaching, well, many top players, both men and female. But notably, he coached Flavia Pennetta, the Italian female tennis player, for 3 years when she reached the US Open semifinal in 2013, won the Fed Cup with Italy, and also won the Indian Wells in 2014 and famously the US Open in 2015. He coached previously also many top Spanish players, including Tommy Robredo, Pablo Andujar, and also Juan Carlos Ferrero, who was a former ATP number one. He coached him in 2008 and 2009. Salvador was also himself a professional tennis player for about 10 years. He had a best singles ranking of 156 and doubles 137. Right now, he's a coach and technical director of Master Tennis Barcelona Academy, obviously in Barcelona, which he operates with Oscar Hernandez. Have a look at it on the internet. It's an amazing facility, very beautiful, with 20 courts, I believe, just outside Barcelona. We have a great chat. We talk about his career, his achievements, his relationship with Pennetta, also about his academy, where he has a lot of young talent, both Spanish and international. And it was great to talk to him. So I hope you enjoy it. Ciao, ciao. Hello, can you hear me well?
Yeah, I hear you really well, I think.
Yeah, how are you? Where are you now?
Me, I'm in Altea. It's close to Alicante, but here we have two tournaments in a row. The first one was 15,000, and this week is at 25. And here we are waiting, but we have not really nice weather in the sense like rain. And we have the tournament this afternoon in case it stops rain. And I have a little bit hold, like half an hour, something like that, to try to do it this.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to give a brief introduction to you for the listeners who maybe don't know who you are. Salvador Navarro, he is a Global Professional Tennis Coach Association, an A-star level coach. You have been the coach of Flavia Pennetta for 2013 to 2015, where she won the Fed Cup in 2013 with Italy, reached the semis of the US Open in the 2013, and also won Indian Wells and the US Open 2015 and Indian Wells 2014. Other players you coached have been Tommy Robredo, everybody knows who he is, Mark Lopez, a great doubles player, Pablo Andujar, and also in 2008-2009, Juan Carlos Ferrero, who obviously was a former ATP number one, and also a lot of other top 100 players as well. Yourself, you were also a professional tennis player for 10 years. You had the best singles of 156, and you were also the top 200 in doubles. Right now, if I'm correct, you are the director of the Master Tennis Academy in Barcelona, which you operate with Oscar Hernandez.
Yes.
I had a look at it on the internet. It looks unbelievable. It's an amazing facility with 20 courts. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are really correct. The name of the academy is Master Tennis Barcelona. And yeah, we are like almost 4 years already working there, and the club is really nice, and the team and all the staff is fantastic. And yeah, and we are really happy about that.
Yeah, it looks very, very, very beautiful. I also wanted just to
I actually got hold of you because I know at the end of the month there is a big tennis conference organized by GPPCA and also by Segal Institute. And I believe you will be speaking at that conference, am I right?
No, I don't know
No?
where you take this info, but they don't contact me, and I don't know nothing about that, like this.
Oh, no, sorry. Yes. Ah, what am I saying? No. I'm a bit confused there. Sorry, that is my mistake.
Okay.
No. Okay, no worries. But okay, I wanted to ask you, first of all, I haven't asked this to anybody yet. How do you become an A-star level GPTCA coach? How does that work?
When I finished the 2015 year, they proposed to go to Italy to make a speaking and with too many coaches from everywhere, and they contacted me, and and I don't really know exactly what what's going on, and I prepared everything to explain a little bit project what I'm thinking about and everything. And after that, they contact me and they want to give me the stare in about also I won a Grand Slam, and it's not too much people won a Grand Slam, and in the end, they think I need to have the stare, and for that one they give me.
Okay. Also, Salvador, where did your tennis journey begin? When did you start? Can you maybe just give us a brief summary of when you started and how you got into it?
When I started to play tennis,
Yes, yeah.
I started in a little club in close to Barcelona in Hospitalet, and when I have, I think I had like 8 years old, something like that. My father's they go to the club to play a little bit, and they bring me there, and in the end, I start to play like the other guys, and slow by slow, I play well, and I start to be the best in a region, and after in Spain, and after in Europe, and after and I keep going, and I am growing like a player and like a boy, and in the end I be pro.
Okay. And how many years did you play as a on the ATP in the or
In the
professional?
professional, I play 8, 9 seasons, I think. But I start to play with almost 28, I think. And I start with 18, yeah, probably 10 years, 10 years, yeah. And always I growing fast, and I be always around 150, 100, 200. And yeah, I play a lot of challengers, and I beat 2 challengers, 7 finals, and I beat Pasquale 1 year in Roland Garros, and I beat 1 match in the main draw too in '97. It's a long time ago, but yeah, and yeah, I do some things I think well.
Okay. And why did you stop?
I stop about. I think the tennis is a really. It's not easy. It's not easy way, and it's every year is difficult. And I travel alone the last 4 or 5 years of my career. It was not easy to find a coach. Years ago, it was not that easy like today. It's too many coaches, good coaches, and everything. And now it's not that easy like before. And in the end, I don't feel that competitive to do it every week well, and I think it was the time to stop. And I think 280 something like that when I stopped, and I think it was not about more for the ranking, more for myself. I think it was enough time to finish my career like tennis player.
Okay. And did you go straight into coaching or did you sort of do something in between?
No, I've been really straight, but I finish in, I think in September after US Open in 2004. I played one more challenger, I think, and after I stopped. I do the pre-season with Rubén Ramírez Hidalgo and Santi Ventura. There was also 50 and 80, and I started straight. I go to, I remember it was 2000 in the end of 2004, and it starts 2005. And I start already to travel to Chennai and Australian Open and South America and everything. And from there, I start to be coach just straight.
Okay, so straight into it. Okay, and did you find that transition easy?
No, not easy. I think
No.
for it was not easy, and I remember exactly like like almost 20 years ago. And always a transition for tennis player when we need to stop. Doesn't care if you do it coach or other thing. It's really hard. Always my colleagues and we talk about something and everyone would take like a few months or a few time like a little bit depression and it's not easy time. And yeah, I passed like a little bit like this time, like 2 3 months, and after, okay, I understand it's finished and I need to do it something new. And yeah, and I do my best with a coach and that's it. But in the end, it's not easy situation for anyone.
And is it something, was it something you always wanted to do, or did it just come to you like naturally after
Wasn't
playing?
thinking really naturally. I was thinking always I could be better coach than player. Not about nothing, but I have really good potential like a player too. But I was really sure to push myself to do it the best I have. My experience of all my life on the tour, and I think I have a really good view of the tennis and with my character and my things. I was thinking I can do it really nice, and in the end, it was happening. And was yeah, was really natural in this sense.
Okay. I want to ask you about your relationship with Flavia Pennetta. I'm Italian, and she's she was an amazing player. Obviously, now she doesn't play anymore. But I believe you were with her for about 3 years, and in those 3 years is probably when she won her biggest tournaments. How did that relationship start? And I don't know, can you just tell us a little bit more
Yeah,
about it?
we have a super nice relation already. We are like like a brother, we can say. And always she's coming to Barcelona. Always she comes to see my daughter and my wife. We have a really good relation, like a big family. And at the times we start to work together, everything was not easy, we can say. But I was working with Tommy Robredo and was going well. But was a time like Tommy was also 14 and we beat together two ATP tours. Yeah, was everything well. But she don't find the person to go with her. And when but we practice in the same group in Barcelona at that time. And I remember I arrived from Casablanca, I think. And she told me, Saba, I need you. You need to try to come to help me a little bit this tournament. And I remember it was Roma, Strasbourg, and normally I need to finish there or to help her. And in the end, I go to Paris, and after Paris, we're talking about, and we decide to start super seriously. And yeah, I finished with Tommy at that time, and I start with Flavia, and after everything was going super, super, we can say.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, in those 3 years, she did extremely well. I mean, she was a player who, if I'm correct, was in the top 10 and also number one in doubles. And won a Grand Slam, Indian Wells, all the biggest tournaments. So that's pretty amazing. What did you do to make her get to the next level? Was there something specific? Was it
Yeah,
a lot of just hard work on
of course it was
everything?
a hard work, but this is for everyone, I think. This is the first rule. Of course, hard work was the one of the first rules. But after also, I want to change her like a little some things. Like she don't feel sometimes like the forehand was that good. And from my opinion, we work a lot on the forehand, and the forehand starts to be much better. And she believes, and that's the most important thing. And also, she don't believe in some moments to do it that big things, no? She prefers to play 30 tournaments in a year than to play 15 worlds and the big ones. And I start to believe more than her, and I pass this confidence to her also. And in the end, she believe a lot, and this the work. And also, we enjoying a lot when we be together on the tour and to practice and to traveling together. And this was the key of the exit in the end. the mentality was much, much, much ambitious, we can say. And also the hard work, in my opinion, was in the correct way.
Okay, fantastic. Because, I mean, I must be honest, I've seen her play many times, and she always came across to me as a player who didn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, but she didn't have anything explosive, no big weapon. Her physical, I mean, she wasn't very physical as well. So it's quite incredible that she achieved what she achieved with the tools she had. Would you agree with
that? I'm a little bit agree, but not full. But in the end, his backhand is probably one of the best ones on the wall. Like this, he was really complete. In the end, the backhand was unbelievable. Was one of the best ones on the tour. Like this, with this weapon, you can do it a lot of things. But of course, I'm agree. She's not that big like Serena, or she don't serve that good like Pliskova, or she don't have the good hands like Rancsovska. But of course, anyway, she has a lot of things to be a really complete and to try to be super complete and to explode a little bit all these things, no? It's like a little bit like Rublev, we can say already, no? And at times, Rublev, he don't have nothing better than the rest, probably. But he have, in the end, is more complete than the rest. And for that one, with his mentality, he's winning everything now.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, and why did you stop after 3 years? Is it because she stopped playing, or why did you relationship
stop? No, she stopped playing after US Open when she won. She on the central course, she says like she wants to stop, and then.
Oh yeah, yeah. What am I? That's correct. Yeah, she just stopped playing immediately after the US Open. She didn't play another tournament,
she tried,
did she?
No, she played like two more tournaments, but in the end, she wanted to play one master. She never be in a master in singles. And in the end, we play Moscow, another one in China, Beijing. And she classified to the master, and after she finished exactly on the master in the end of the year in 2015 in Singapore.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. And how about Ferrero? How did you end up with him? And this was after he was number one, if I'm correct. How did your relationship with him begin?
We know one to the other one too many times. Also, we played two times in the tour like this. We was like a friend, and he likes also a lot of the cars and the motorbikes like me. And I was working in that time with Guillermo García López, was in his academy also. Like this, we've been really close. And arriving one point, like, they talked to me to stop with Guillermo and to start with him. And was like this.
Okay. And with him, what did you try and do the time you were with him? What were your like?
With Juan Carlos was like my first, I can say like my first stop was with him. And I get too much experience. And in the end, what I try to apport to him is to be happy and to enjoy when we're traveling, to have like a hitting partner, a coach, friend. Like it's like a completely, I want to be like a person, like five persons in one, no? And that was my exactly point there.
Okay. I see. Okay. Do you think it's better to have a big team as a top player, or is it better to have a small, like just maybe one or two people? Which one do you prefer?
This is an interesting question. Big team, I don't really like in the sense, but I really understand they need a physio, they need a coach, they need a manager. If of course, it's a big difference if you are number five or if you are number 50. If you're number five, of course, in the end, it's really important. Too many persons, but you have a lot of things and you need to be focused on your things. Like this, I understand the super tops, they needed more people than the people is 50. And anyway, they can pay, of course, but it's not easy to have all this team if you are 50 or 100 on the wall and you need to spend that money and you don't have. But in my opinion, I think need to be the balance between only the coach or to have 10 persons in your team. I think with three or four persons is more than enough. physio and physical and coach, I think, is more than enough. And after the manager, to come some week.
Okay. But do you think these top players, let's say the top 10 who travel with 10 people, they have the coach, they have this, they have that. Do you think that really gives them the extra strength or extra weapon that the other players don't have? Do you think that is something that gives them something extra?
No, I think it's not only the extra weapon, no? It's extra comfortable in the end, no? They don't need to, they can pay to, they do it the rest and they just focus on to play. I think it's not a big weapon, but of course it's a comfortable thing. So that's it. I think it's not a big difference in this sense to be that good or not. It's just to be more comfortable.
Okay. So just to have a team. So basically you can just focus on playing on the court, on the match. Yeah. Okay. I've got quite a few questions. Another question I'm interested. Are you from Barcelona? Barcelona. Why do you think Barcelona probably in the last 10, 15 years or so has become the center of the tennis coaching, of the tennis world? Maybe somebody can say Florida is still very important, but why do you think that happened? And is it still like that? And do you think the Sanchez Casal Academy was very important in all of this as well?
No. Sanchez Casal, of course, is one of a big academy and was really important in... we can say 20 years ago, especially, but not at that times. But of course, they are working well. I have a really good relation with Sergio and Emilio. But the point of Barcelona was a little bit better like 20 years ago than now, no? Now the players, they prefer normally to pay something more and the coaches, they go to his houses and to work there in his countries or whatever. Before, like 20 years ago or 10 years, or in that moment too, some guys that are coming to practice with us, we have a good weather. We have a lot of players to play one to the other one. We have a really good competitions tournaments around Barcelona. It's a big airport. It's not expensive city like Paris or London or whatever. And also the weather and the too many professionals, tennis coaches and players that we live there. And like this is easy to try to be a tennis player in Barcelona than in other places.
Okay. Is it still like that, or is it slowly? You said
it's slowly going down. We can, of course, still like that, but a little bit going down.
Okay, is that because you were saying many players now just prefer to get a coach or hitting partner, whatever, and they go somewhere or they come to their house, whatever.
It's like this. Someone they prefer. Okay. The people now at that times is not that. I don't know to say if it's that work is done before, but at that times too many players they prefer to be comfortable in house and to spend some more money and to bring someone to his countries than to move and to do it the force to go to other sites. But anyway, of course, we have clear examples like Flavia or Fognini or Rublev or Karatsev or too many. They come in Lajovic or the same like in my group in Master Tennis Barcelona. It's too many players. They come in and they live in Barcelona and everything is great and the people is super happy.
Okay, fantastic. Is there anyone currently, I would imagine you are coaching, are you coaching anybody right now who is... who we know about, or are you doing a lot of juniors?
We have a lot of...
What are you doing right now?
A lot. We have some players, the guy here is Georgi Kravchenko. He's around 500. He's young, he's 20 years, and he's growing. We have also Paola Marachea, was 50 on the wall in WTA. Also, we have Hiroki Morilla, a Japanese guy, is 240. Like this, we have a lot of... depends on ranking, no? We have some highest on juniors. We have the best junior in Catalonia also, Alex Padró. And we have some players, it's really interesting careers, okay. And we try to help them the best we can.
Okay. So are you mostly focused on that right now? Or if somebody, I just make an example, if somebody in the top 50 comes in to you and says, hey, I want you to follow me and travel with me.
I can consider, I'm in a point in my life. I have my academy and with Oscar. And one of the points to do it that is to have more stability and to don't travel that much than before. No, I travel 10 years like a player, 50 years full like a coach. Like this is 25 years. And of course, I'm still traveling, but I try to travel in like 14, 15 weeks and not 30 like before. Like this is half of the weeks.
Okay. And is there anybody currently that you would really like to coach? Is there somebody you would really, really like to coach if you if they came to you?
And
you
always and wouldn't be able always to say we are open, no, to try to hear some offers on depends of the player. Of course, I'm always opening, but not easy.
Okay. You can't say, but there's not a player or that you would really inspires you, and you'd love to just, you know, get with them and start working.
Nobody
with them.
In particular.
There's nobody in particular. Nobody in particular. Okay. And ultimately, what would you like to? I mean, you already have achieved a lot as a coach, but ultimately, is there something else that is missing that you would like to achieve?
Of course, always. I think the best you can desire and the best you can dream sometimes is to try to do your job the best you can every day. And of course, to have these things like titles, we can say, I think it's I'm really complete in this sense. But of course, I can repeat some big titles. I could be proof of myself. But of course, I know it's not easy.
Okay. And in your academy, have you got a mixture of international and Spanish, or is it mostly?
No. We have really mixed, and the big players we have and the best one we have normally, they are from out of Spain. We have Japanese, Ukrainians, Russians, Argentinians, Norway sometimes also, and also Spanish. We have like a mix of players from everywhere.
You know, Spanish players and Spanish tennis has been so dominant in tennis for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, more or less. Do you feel there is still a lot more that Spain is going to give to the world in tennis as far as players? Or do you think that movement, that amount of players you add, is it slowly
it's coming less and less? It's coming less and less.
Or do you think there is
100%, I think. This is really clear. All the years, like the last, I can say 30 years ago, 3-4 players minimum, they were to new ones to the top 100 and some ones on the top 10. And now stop by stop, step by step, is coming slow and it's not like that anymore. Some ones like Alcaraz, of course, and some ones like not too many more like than Alcaraz. I hope they can take that level and... to represent Spain like always we do it, but in the end it's not the same times like before. It's coming slow down.
Okay, but now the obvious question, why is it slowing down, and why were there in the past so many good
I think
Spanish
it was a combination of things, no, but in the end I think the global generation is not the same. Before we was like a poor country, we can say, and everyone we was hungry to do it the things and to do it tennis player and to be was an illusionist, was an ambitious, and everyone we be a little bit like we coming from down and we want to go up, and now in Spain everyone also my daughters and the people nice around me, everything is too easy, I think, and for that one. It's not the same mentality and not the same efforts like we do it like years ago. Now, on the global people, normally everyone has everything, and that's the big point, I think, is big difference.
Okay. Interesting. I think maybe you could say that of most countries. I don't know. I think it you can see it in many countries also with tennis. But do you think there's going to be some countries that will still that will surprise us? Like I was speaking to another my previous guests who Bogdan Obradovic, who's going to China, and he says China. There's going to be a lot of players coming out there. Do you think,
Could be, of course,
this is going to be the
point
case?
Of China is yeah. They have too much money and they have too much money to invest, and they bring the best coaches and the best fitness, the best everything, and the best facilities. And with that, of course, they have more chances. They have more million of persons. They have more money. They invest mass money like this. Normally, could be the point. But anyway, and the real situation is they do it like the last 5-10 years, and already they don't have the big players. And like this, probably is a good project, but not immediately. And here in the rest of the countries, like France, for example, or Italy, they are working really well on the schools and on the basic tennis. And this is also one of the points, I think, in Spain, we are not working that well than before. And the base school from the kids.
Okay. Okay, very interesting. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is I interviewed Geoffrey Porter in Mallorca. Yeah, I spoke to him in one of my episodes last year, and I asked him if there is a Spanish system in every academy in the way it's coaching, and he said no, everybody does things differently. Do you think that is true? Does everybody
I'm agreeing, but not full, no, in the sense, I think the most of the coaches we are working, and too many years already, the base of the tennis almost is the same. But of course, we don't have a system like it's like A, B, C. But the A, B, everyone almost, we work in the same way. Like this is close systems, but not exactly the same.
Okay. In your academy, what is a typical day of a high performance player? What if you
the
have
typical
to just
day
say
is,
a typical day, a normal day, what do they
Oscar
do?
Oscar or me or both and also the rest of the team, we arrive to the club at 8:30 to take a coffee and to talk a little bit how is the day and everything. We plan in the day before, we plan in everything already. And 9, we be on court. We do it like two turns, 9 to 11, and after 11 to 1 in court. After at 1, we try to launch something, and 2:30, we come in again to the court. And we do it on 2:30 to 4:30. After we finish the day, we go home. And after on the afternoon, pues, we try to do it, the mails we need to do it to the fathers or some meetings or something like that. This is the classical day we do it. And after, we organize it the next day again on the afternoon, like 6, 7 in the afternoon.
Okay, but your typical player,
my classical
what does he do in a day? Does he do how much time on court?
And, they do it fitness 9 to 11 after they have a sandwich and 11, 10 to... Yeah,
2 hours of
close
fitness.
Close to there.
Do they do
and after
2 hours
they
of fitness?
Tennis, 2 hours, 11 to 1. And after they have a break also to lunch, and they come into the core again to do it 2:30 to 4:30 or to 4, depends of the day. After they finish, they stretch, they take a shower, they go home, they take a dinner. This is the classical day for the players too.
Okay, okay. So it's about nearly 2 hours of fitness and 3 to 4 hours
probably,
of tennis.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Okay.
Normally we do
like
it five times and Saturday
week?
We do it a little bit shorter, but normally Saturday afternoon and Sunday is off. But Wednesday sometimes we try to do it afternoon free also for everyone to try to recover a little bit and to feel better. But that's normally we do it like we talked before, like 4 times and 2 shorters. But yeah, 6 seasons, close to 6 seasons like this in a week, yeah.
Okay. And then another question I have for you, Salvador. A normal training session, like let's say in a week or in a month, whatever, because you hear different stories. But do you think is it should it be divided into three parts? Like one third is just drills, one third is let's say rallying. I'm generalizing, but one third drills, no. One third rallying, and one third points. Do you think that is a good mixture for juniors, or do you have a different idea?
The moment of the calendar, we do it one thing or the other one, and depends of the player who needs one thing or the other one. As academy, it don't work like a system. Like Monday, we do it that, and Wednesday they do it that, or in that court that. We do it super personal things, and depends of the moment of the week or depends of the moment of the season. We do it one thing or the other one. If there are closing, for example, to play tournament, we do it more sets and not really drills. And if we are in a precision, pues we do it more drills and sets. And depends of the moment of the year, we do it one thing or the other one, but not for days or for program like a system.
Okay, I see. So, obviously it's very personal and individual depending on the person and his need.
As group, but in the end we are a competition group and not a big academy. And for that one, we are really close to give the service like a private coach.
Yeah. Which is obviously much better. And is there something in a junior? What do you look for in a junior? What is the most important thing?
I think
you
the junior
look for
players they need to improve a lot the solid things. But in the end, they miss too much already on the tennis. In the end, everyone is big, physical, and they are hit well. But in the end, they need to learn to play tennis and to miss less. And this is one of the first rules I try to work in my group. To try to be more solid and to miss less balls. The guys
miss less balls. Okay, yeah, balls. Yeah.
The guys already.
The guys they what? Sorry,
It's in the end. If you see the statistics or you see a match, in the end, it's no chance to see like every match like 30 or 40. Easy mistakes. This is we need to try to correct a little bit. Of course, I understand they hit too much power and whatever, but in the end, it's too many mistakes. Totally.
Okay. Too many unforced errors, basically. Yeah. Okay, so that is very, very important for you in a junior player. They must learn to not make mistakes. Okay, and then later, am I correct? Maybe then later. You start to develop the weapon.
At the same time,
like we try a big forehand or whatever.
Things, no? Someone, the serve is really important and we work a lot also, the receiving too, and depends of the player. We try to construction like more solid or more aggressive. This is, of course, depending on the player. But I think everyone needs to be enough solid and enough serving well to try to play and to try to be a pro.
Yes. Okay. Are you ready for the rapid fire quiz?
Okay. Yeah. I try my best.
We'll be quick. What is your very first memory of tennis?
To enjoy when I was playing.
Okay. Define what type of player you are if nobody has ever seen you play.
I was a talented player with good shots and good hand. Lefty.
Which player resembles you the most if you have to pick one?
McEnroe.
Best shot?
Batham.
Current favorite player, male or female?
McEnroe.
No, my current, that is playing now.
Between Djokovic and Rafa.
Okay. List the big three, Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer, from your favorite to your least favorite.
Nadal.
Second?
Djokovic.
Third, Federer.
Yeah.
Which is the best tournament in the world?
Indian Wells, probably.
Favorite surface?
Clay.
What strings tension do you use?
Between 25 and 26.
And what strings?
Luxilon, Big Banger, 130.
Favorite tennis racket?
Babolat, Poor Drive, but the old one. It's like the same like Fognini, but in long body.
Okay. What is the most amazing tennis experience you have ever had?
When we won the US Open.
With Panetta?
Yeah.
You have to book a restaurant and invite three players, male, female. They can be also from the past. Which restaurant do you book and which players you invite?
One restaurant in Barcelona. It's the restaurant of my sister. The name is Gresca. And I bring Fernando Vicente. He's the coach of Rublev and was a tennis player. And he's one of my best friends. And also Marat Safin.
And the third one?
Marat Safin.
Vicente, Safin, and I didn't get the third one.
The third one could be Diego Veronelli, Argentinian guy.
Okay. Do you, favorite food?
Mediterranean, but more meat than fish, but both.
Okay. Pizza topping. Which pizza do you like?
Both. All, but I don't use that much.
Okay. You're not much of a pizza Pete person.
No,
okay.
No. I take like two times per year, probably.
Oh, okay. Do you have a hobby? I think you like motorbikes and that. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm an enduro rider. And also the last times, also I'm fishing.
Okay. Many tennis players are superstitious. Are you superstitious?
A little bit, yeah, also.
Is it? What do you do? Tell us.
Well, the same cap, the same place on the court, the same locker place, too many.
Oh, okay. How many hours do you sleep on average?
Between 7 and 8, not more and not less normally.
Favorite country?
Spain.
No, it can't be Spain.
Australia.
Okay, favorite city?
Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay. Is tennis the most difficult sport in the world?
I think, one of the most difficult. Probably sharing with the golf, but yeah, golf and tennis.
If you were not involved in tennis, what would you be doing right now?
Probably something with the nature and with the animals. I love in the mountains and the animals, and probably a veterinarian or something like that.
Okay. In 2050, about 30 years from now, how will tennis look like?
I don't really know. It's too far away, but probably worse than now.
Worse? Like not as good? Not as nice to look at?
Yeah. I think everything too fast and everything not too strategic and not that nice than now or than before.
Okay. I give a shot, you give me a player. Male, female, any era.
Okay.
Serve.
Raonic.
Return.
Djokovic.
Forehand.
Fernando González.
Backhand.
Djokovic.
Volley.
Stepanek.
Drop shot.
Probably you don't know, but probably Germán Puentes or Dino Pescario, they played before, but they have a special hand.
Okay, I don't know them. Movement.
Nadal.
Mental toughness.
Nadal, 100%.
Touch, feel.
Federer.
Presence, aura.
What do you mean?
Aura, presence. Like when a player steps onto the court or is in a locker room, you are nearly intimidated. Who is the best presence, the best aura?
Rafa also.
Rafa, okay. Finally, Salvador, ask yourself a question and answer it.
This is not easy, no? But in how many we won?
Sorry?
How many questions and answers you want?
No, one question and one answer.
Well, tennis could be a nice sport, yes. Tennis need to be an enjoying sport, of course, yes. And I hope the next generations, they try to learn something better from the last times. And I hope, yes.
Okay, Salvador, that's everything. I really appreciate your time. I know you are busy and you have to go and do things. You're at the tournament, but it was really nice speaking to you. And who knows, maybe speak to you again. But thank you very much.
Okay, thanks to you. Keep in touch. Ciao.
Okay. Ciao. Bye-bye. You know, man.